We're going to be finishing up in 2 Thessalonians, if you would like to find your place there tonight, 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 3. We'll be finishing up this second epistle, and while you're finding your place there in 2 Thessalonians 3, let me just remind you of a couple of announcements, and remember the wedding shower for Joshua and Addison on Saturday, April 26th, from 1 to 3 p.m. in Building C. Vacation Bible School Workers Meeting, Sunday, April the 27th at 5:15, if you will remember those. Also, our high school graduation Sundays on May the 18th. There's a sign-up sheet over here for our graduates and their families. So we'd appreciate it if you would sign up there if you need to or qualify for that. All right. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, we're going to read the final three verses this evening in 2 Thessalonians. We have been looking over the past Sunday evenings for several weeks, several months here in 2 Thessalonians on the theme of living life in light of Jesus' return. And we have already looked at, Paul has already given a benediction previous to these verses tonight, but this evening we're going to look in verses 16 through 18 at a prayer of blessing. Paul is offering up a prayer of blessing. He makes one statement in the midst of this prayer that is not a prayer. It talks about how the epistle was written, but the theme tonight of these three verses is a prayer of blessing. If you'll follow with me tonight in your copy of God's Word, we'll read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 16, 17, and 18. The Bible says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Let us pray. Father, we thank you again this evening for this privilege to be gathered together. We pray now that your word would have free course as we look at it for the next few moments. We thank you, Father, for the blessings of this day. We thank you for the request of prayer that you have answered on behalf of many of our people here in the church, for those requests tonight that we've been asked to pray for today and this evening. We pray for those from our congregation unable to be with us tonight because of sickness and other needs. We ask, Lord, that you'd be with them and encourage them and help them. We pray tonight you'd be with our teachers, Lord, as they teach our young people and children. I pray that you would give them strength, and may your word, Father, work in the lives of these young people tonight and give them strength and direction and instruction. For those that are unsaved, we pray your word and the work of the Holy Spirit would bring them to repentance and faith in Christ. We pray the same tonight for each of us that hear the word of God. For those that do not know you, we pray that this would be the moment, the time, the day, that, Lord, they would look to heaven, look to Christ for the salvation of their souls. Now, Lord, we thank you for the privilege as a church family to go through this epistle, Lord, over the past Sunday evenings. We thank you for the great Apostle Paul, for the writing, for his burden, for the instruction that he has given throughout this epistle. And as we read and preach his final words tonight, I pray that we would glean from those words. And Father, you would help us to search our hearts and help us to find comfort and peace, to find strength in you, to continue to live as we wait upon your return. Lord, wherever this gospel is being preached tonight, I pray that you'd give liberty here in our own county and city, for those men who are standing in this same hour and proclaiming your word, we pray that, Father, you would save souls and you would help churches and unite us together in your love and help us to be a witness in the coming days. Lord, as we go through this week, Father, and remember your crucifixion and this Lord's Day celebrate your resurrection, I pray, Father, you would help us and, Lord, encourage us, keep our minds upon you and focused upon the work you did for us and for the great salvation that you've given us. So bless this time together, we pray. We'll thank you and give you glory for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned, we come tonight to the final message in Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians. And in these final words that I've read tonight, Paul gives another what we call benediction, or a prayerful benediction, actually a prayer that includes some other things within it designed to encourage and comfort the young, growing believers in Thessalonica. And I can't speak for you tonight, but I need encouragement as I wait on the coming of Christ. I need comfort. I need peace. I need the very things for which the apostle is praying in these few verses that I've read tonight. Just before we look at these verses this evening, I want to just give you a quick summary, because we've been in this book for months, and I just want us to go back and do a quick summary of what has been taught in 2 Thessalonians. In chapter number 1, verse number 4, Paul writes this letter, and he begins by rejoicing in the steadfastness of these young believers, their faith in Christ. And even though they're being persecuted, Paul is grateful and thankful to God for them, that they are withstanding that and being true to the Lord. In chapter 1, verse number 5, we have learned that afflictions and persecutions are part of God's plan, and they're part of God's plan in order to sanctify us, in order to help us to be Christ-like, and for the Lord to help us to be the fit vessels that would be a part of His kingdom. And in chapter 1, verse 6 through 10, we've also learned that believers and unbelievers will be rewarded. Believers will be rewarded when Christ returns for their faithfulness. Unbelievers will be rewarded for their lack of faith, and they will receive the just punishment that is coming to them. These are some of the themes and the subjects that Paul has dealt with in this epistle. In chapter 2, the first 12 verses, we see the theme of these verses is that the day of Christ's return will not come until the man of lawlessness, the man of sin, is revealed and the great deception occurs. These believers in Thessalonica had many questions about the coming of the Lord and what would happen before He came and during that time. And so Paul makes that clear in chapter 2, that the man of lawlessness will be revealed and the great deception will occur. And in verses 16 and 17 of chapter 2, Paul gives another word of encouragement. He reminds these Thessalonians that they were chosen by God and they were selected. They were called out of sin to be children of God, and they are to stand fast in good works no matter what happens prior to the return of our Lord. And in chapter number 3 and verse number 13, leading up to verse number 13 of chapter number 3, Paul talks about the disorderly and those who are busybodies and causing problems in the church at Thessalonica. And Paul is saying to them that although some will do that, he encourages them in verse 13 not to be weary in well-doing, not to be weary in their faithfulness and their persistence in living for Christ. He encourages them to be that way, a much-needed word that we need as well tonight. And then the theme of all of it, if you were to put it all under one banner, it would be tonight that Christ is coming, and He's coming to be glorified. He's not coming to be vilified. He's not coming to be rejected anymore. But when Christ comes, He is coming to be glorified. And even now as we wait upon Him to come, Christ is glorified whenever we are being sanctified, when we endure, when we face opposition and persecution, and when we remain steadfast, when we deal with the disorderly and the things in church that are not pleasing to God. All of these things glorify God, and that's been Paul's message throughout this second letter. So we come tonight to the final prayer of blessing that Paul offers up for this congregation. The Christian life, as we have seen throughout this epistle, and most of us know from our reading and study of the Word of God, the Christian life is not without conflict. It's not without trouble. It's not without strife and trials. And although if you're saved, you're the same condition, although I am free from the condemnation of sin because of Christ's sacrifice for my soul, I still face trials and difficulties. We all do. We still face the circumstances that are sometimes put pressure upon us as children of God. The young Thessalonians were living that. They knew what that was. And although we are saved by His grace, eternally kept by His power, we still face these difficult days. And so we desperately need these final words from the Apostle Paul. I was privileged to preach a funeral on Friday at my former pastorate in Taylorsville. And I preached the funeral of a lady that I had met there when I went there in 1996. When I went there, she was facing much difficulty, going through many trials. And I learned very quickly that that had been going on in her life for years before I came there in 1996. Of the 13 years that I was there, I don't think I remember a year but what she didn't face some kind of new trial and difficulty, mostly related to her family, to her son, and to things related so closely to her heart. And since I left there in 2008 and up until the last couple years when she was in a nursing facility and was unable to know a lot of things about that, they tell me she continued to face those same burdens and trials. Many of them were beyond understanding, and yet I don't think I've ever known a lady more faithful to church. There were thousands of times that she could have quit, had every reason to quit, embarrassed by the sins of people close to her, but yet she remained faithful, and she came to church and served the Lord faithfully until the Lord called her home. And as I read this closing prayer of Paul, I thought about her, and I'm reminded of how many of God's people, and we all know those, we all know people who are like that, who it seems like they have more than their share of trials and difficulties and things happen in life. And yet for some reason, only God knows, by His grace, they remain faithful to Him, and they are dependent upon His faithfulness to them. That's what makes them able to be faithful unto Him. So as I read Paul's closing words tonight to the Thessalonians, I'm reminded how this relationship between him and the Thessalonians was such a special relationship. Just as I knew when I pastored this particular individual, I knew about what she was facing in life. So Paul knew about what these Thessalonians were facing. And he was being a spiritual leader as with Silas and Timothy, and they cared about this young church. And this is why Paul is praying for them. He's not just tacking this on at the end of a letter, but he genuinely knew who they were, what they were going through, and what they were facing. That's why God provides spiritual leadership for the church. That's why God provides shepherds for the church. That's why God provided Paul and Timothy and Silas for the Thessalonians, in order to help them, stay with God, to help them be steadfast and faithful as they awaited the Lord's return. First of all, look with me at Paul's prayer of blessing for these believers. In verse 16, we see a prayer for the Lord's peace and a prayer for the Lord's presence. Paul says, "Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means." Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. Now this is not a prayer like you would normally read where Paul started out, "Our Heavenly Father," but he is praying, he is offering a petition to God, and he's saying, "I'm praying for two things specifically. I am praying that you experience and know the Lord's peace, and I am praying and that you experience and know the Lord's presence." Notice, if you will, verse 16 begins with the word "now." It's a transitional word. Paul has been talking about the disorderly and how to deal with them in the church at Thessalonica, the busybodies, the lazy ones who will not work because they're waiting on Jesus to come. Paul is transitioning from that now, from his instructions on how to deal with those people within the church. He's moving from instruction to intercession. It's a beautiful picture of pastoral leadership. It's a beautiful picture of a pastor's heart and a shepherd's heart. Sometimes whenever the preacher is instructing and preaching and exhorting and telling you things that you need to obey and do,
We look at him as just an instructor, as someone who wants to lord authority over us, but always the one who truly cares. He moves from that instruction to intercession, and from intercession to instruction, and then back to intercession again. Paul is the kind of spiritual leader who's not just telling the Thessalonians what they need to do and how they need to react and how they need to handle the disorderly and the busybodies. He is a man who went to God for them in prayer. Instruction and intercession are inseparable links when it comes to being a spiritual leader in the local church. As I just stated in the introduction I mentioned a while ago, every church, every congregation needs spiritual leadership that's able to biblically instruct and also able to biblically intercede. Paul has not just told them the strong commands and the warnings and the exhortations, but these people are on his heart, and he truly wants them to experience the Lord's peace and the Lord's presence. Let's look at those two things briefly. First of all, he says there in verse 16, "Now the Lord of peace himself." The Lord of peace himself. Paul's prayer is for the presence of the Lord. The pronoun himself is at the beginning of this prayer. If you look back at chapter 2 of this book in verse 16, you'll see Paul use that same word. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Paul is not just praying that God would give them peace. He wants the church at Thessalonica to know the Lord's presence for himself. It's an intense statement. He wants them to know Christ, the very person of Christ, whose presence is greatly needed. Now, if you remember, I don't know if you do or not, but if you remember, one of the key words in this epistle has been the word "we." I've mentioned it to you several times throughout these Sunday evenings. Paul is talking about in chapter 1, verse 1, when he says "we," he's talking about himself, he's talking about Silas, and he's talking about Timothy. He's talking about these three men as they are ministering to this young church. And he says that over and over, we. Paul is saying in verse number 17 of what we've read tonight, Paul said, "Now I wrote this salutation with mine own hand, and this epistle has been written with mine own hand. I'm the one who wrote it to you, but Timothy and Silas and me, we have been ministering. We have been trying to help you through all of these things that you are facing." But Paul knows there's coming a day when "we" will not be there anymore. This is the last letter Paul will write them that is preserved in the canon of Scripture. Paul is saying there's coming a day when "we" will not be there, when we cannot visibly be with you. But he said, I am praying that the presence of the Lord himself, that you will understand what that is, and you will know him, and you will appreciate him. Church leadership, from pastor on down, however that unfolds, church leadership is clearly designed to do certain things for the church. And the church needs that. However, no leader, I want you to listen carefully, no leader can replace Christ himself. What the leadership does is point you to Christ. Your hope tonight is not in a pastor, an elder, a deacon, or just a teacher. They have a design purpose for the church, but our hope tonight is in who? Christ himself. Paul prayed that the Lord of peace himself, he prayed that the Lord himself, they would understand and appreciate the Lord himself. I met with you here tonight at 6 o'clock for this service because I'm a part of this body. Also because part of my duty as your pastor is to preach the Word of God to you and pray for you and be with you. But I want to tell you, I cannot go where he goes. I cannot know what he knows. I cannot help you in ways that he can help you. Thank God for a congregation of people who know the Lord himself. So Paul prayed for the presence of the Lord. Secondly, he prayed for the peace of the Lord. There in verse number 16. Now the Lord of peace, meaning he is the Lord of peace, he's in control of peace. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The one to whom Paul is praying is designated in this verse as the Lord of peace. It's one of the only designations where Christ is actually called that in the Bible, the Lord of peace. Now in Romans 15, 33, 2 Corinthians 13, 11, Philippians 4, 9, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, he's referred to as the God of peace. And I'm not here tonight to split hairs over the Trinity, over the God of peace versus Christ, the Lord of peace. We're not here to do that. All the source of peace comes from the Godhead. But I think Paul is putting a specific emphasis here on the person of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9:6 calls Christ the Prince of Peace. Ephesians 2:14, speaking of Christ, says He is our peace. But peace is also the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. So all of the Godhead is involved in the peace that we have tonight. But here in this letter, Paul is specifically putting emphasis on Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, when he says the Lord of peace himself. The peace for which Paul is praying is not for them to have peace from their persecution that will eventually come. It is not for them to have peace, even the cessation or the stopping of the conflict within the church. That is not his primary message here in using this word peace. Paul is asking and praying for Jesus to give them inner calm and quietness of soul that is rooted totally in the atoning and reconciling work of Christ on the cross. That's where they have peace. We need to, you know, we say we need to stop this conflict so we can have peace, and that would be good. Or we need to settle this issue so we could have peace. These two brothers are at war over something about when Christ will return or when he won't return. We need to calm that down so we will have peace. All of that would have been good at Thessalonica, but that is not specifically what Paul is praying for here. He is saying, I am asking Christ himself, our Savior, who atoned for us on the cross, who reconciled us to Him, who gave us peace with God, I am asking Him now to give you peace, to give you an inner calm, to give you a quietness of soul as you await the days of the Lord's return. As you await the days that are filled with persecution, as you await the days that are going to be filled with the lawless one and the deceptive times, and as you await the day when you look at church and sometimes things are disorderly, he said, I pray that you will find the peace, the calm that comes through the reconciling work of Jesus Christ. I'm glad tonight when everything is on stage that would upset us and confuse us and cause us difficulty, I'm glad tonight we find peace in Christ. We find the anchor of our soul in Him. The secret of that peace tonight is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank God He's there when no one else is. He can when no one else can't. He is the one who cares tonight when no one else does. And Paul is praying this prayer of blessing that they would know the presence of the Lord and that they would know the peace of the Lord. Do you know Him tonight? You can. And His presence is a peaceful presence. Notice in verse number 16, now the Lord of peace Himself, notice the word give. May He give you peace. Paul knew the kind of peace that he was praying for could not be earned. He knew the kind of peace that he was praying for could not be solicited from God. It could not be gained by personal effort. It couldn't be gained by going through a set of rules. Paul knew that this peace had to be received as a precious gift of God. I often hear people talk about finding peace in a given circumstance or situation. But I want to stress tonight, what Paul is saying in this prayer goes beyond that. Now, the Lord of peace Himself, Paul said, give you peace. The peace we need tonight is not the peace that we find in a situation. It's not a common ground that we find in a battle. The kind of peace that we need tonight and the kind of peace that Paul is praying for is that peace that God has just given us. Jesus told His disciples, He said, I give you peace, my peace. Not as the world gives, but I give you peace. It's a gift of Almighty God. If you need or desire peace, it's a gift to be asked for. It's a gift to be received. The peace of Almighty God. I sometimes wish you can't because of confidentiality and things, but I sometimes wish you could know and hear the prayer requests and the burdens that our church family shares with me on any given week. Most of what you share with me are things that have no peace-inducing elements to them. In other words, if the things you ask me to pray for and the burdens you share with me that are on your heart, we can't sit down and figure out how to find peace in the midst of all that. There's no peace-inducing elements within it. Most of it is just piece after piece of thing, and I say peace there, P-I-E-C-E. It's just piece after piece of things that you can never put that together and come up with that inner calm or quietness of soul. And the reason you share those things and the reason you ask for prayer in those things is because you know that if P-E-A-C-E, if real peace comes, it has to come as a gift from God. God has to give that, and God has to do that. And whatever your circumstance and prayer may be, the result is if God doesn't give us inner calm and quietness of soul, it's never going to come. If God doesn't give us tranquility, it's never going to come. So it has to come from another source. In church tonight, in verse 16, that source is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of peace. And since He's Lord of it, it would do us all well to ask Him for peace, to go to Him for the peace that we need. Notice here the duration and manner of this peace that comes from the Lord Himself. Notice the duration of it. Paul said, I'm praying that God will give you peace. Here's a duration word, always. He said, I'm praying that God give you peace always. That word always there means throughout or at all times. Paul is saying, I pray that He give you peace throughout your times of persecution. I pray He give you peace throughout your times of questioning about the man of lawlessness, about the end time, about days of deception, about things you don't understand. I pray He give you peace throughout that period in your life. I pray He give you peace through the times when you have to set boundaries in the church and the disorderly have to be dealt with properly and the busybodies have to be reprimanded. And I pray He give you peace always throughout all of those circumstances. I pray He give you peace when you're holding your children in your arms. I pray He give you peace when your children begin to walk and pull away from you. I pray He give you peace whenever your children come to me. I pray He give you peace when your children walk away from me. I pray that He give you peace as you pray for them to come back to me. This is always a word of duration. Paul said, I'm praying for you that in every circumstance between now and the return of Christ that you find an inner calm and a quietness of soul. You find that in Jesus Christ. I'm glad He's able to do that. The duration of this peace is always. But notice the manner of this peace, that He give you peace always, and it said by all means. By all means. The Thessalonians were facing trials and persecution, and they never knew when things would occur or when things would get worse. So Paul is praying that the Lord give them peace always and by all means, that He use all means. I want to tell you tonight, the peace of God does not come with a limited warranty. The peace of God does not come with a life expectancy. The peace of God does not come with a certain period of availability or reality. You can buy a financial product tonight and set it up for what they call a period certain, meaning you invest a certain amount of money and for a certain period of time, that money will do certain things for you. Well, I'm going to tell you, the peace of God is not like that tonight. The peace of God is available always, and the peace of God is available by all means. That is what Paul is asking for, and that is what the church there needed. The manner of this peace is by all means, in every way, in every circumstance. So let me put this together and try to put it together in a sentence. If you take this together, Paul is praying for the Lord by His presence with the Thessalonians to give them an uninterrupted flow of inner peace and quietness of soul based on the finished work of Christ in every different circumstance of life, no matter how often or how repetitive they come. When you think about that tonight, thank God we are blessed to have the Lord of peace as our Savior and our God. Horatio Spafford, Presbyterian church elder, wrote the words to the hymn. You've heard it sung. You've sung it often. We've sung it here often. It is well with my soul. After his family tragically died, he wrote those words. You remember one of those stanzas, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Now he wrote that hundreds of years after Paul wrote this to the Thessalonians, but that is exactly what Paul is talking about, that uninterrupted flow of God's peace. That's what Paul is praying for. Thirdly, Paul's prayer for the Lord here in this passage, verse 16, Paul's prayer for the Lord to be with all of the Thessalonians. I save this to last because this means the most to me as a pastor. Notice the little word all in verse 16. Very important. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. And then he said, the Lord be with you all. That's a powerful part of this prayer. He said, I'm praying that the Lord be with you. That word with means right there among you in the here and now. Right there in the muddiness of your Monday, in the trials of your Tuesday, in the weariness of your Wednesdays, and whatever else may come. Right in the middle of all of that here and now, I'm praying that the Lord be there with you in his presence, and that he be there to give you the gift of his peace. But then notice this little word, all. Now Paul could have prayed, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all at Thessalonica who are not disorderly. He could have said that. He could have said, the Lord be with you all that are understanding the Lord's return like I've explained it. He could have said, the Lord be with you all that are steadfast. He could have said, the Lord be with you all, and then put some conditions on it. But that isn't what he said. He said, the Lord be with you all of you, all the disorderly and the orderly, all of those who understand and those who are still trying to figure it out. Now listen carefully. The Lord be with you all of you that are working and those of you that are lazy. He said, I'm praying the Lord be with you all. That's a pastor's heart. That is church leadership as it should be. With all means even the disorderly, even the busybodies, even those who had a wrong interpretation and application of the man of lawlessness and the deceptive days and the coming of Christ. He said, I'm still praying that the Lord be with you all, every individual. Every family, every mother, every father, every grandparent, every leader, every believer in the church at Thessalonica needed the Lord's presence. They needed the Lord's peace, just like every one of us need that here at West Lenoir. He prays for all of them. Who would you like for me to exclude from my prayer list for the congregation? Well, preacher, here's a list of everybody who's living right and believes what I believe. Pray for them. What about all of them that maybe see things differently? Paul is about to close this letter, and he is saying, with all the difficulties going on at Thessalonica, he said, I remember your faith in Christ, and I pray the Lord himself and the Lord give you peace for every one of you. And you know why he did that? Because every one of them needed it. And I want to just restate it again tonight. I don't know any member of this church, all of us tonight, no matter what camp we come from, no matter what camp we go to when we leave here tonight, we all need the presence of Christ in our hearts and lives, and we all need the peace of our Lord. Paul prayed for all of them. We all need that. Finally, verse 18, his prayer for the Lord's grace. We hear this often in Paul's closing words. But what does Paul actually mean by grace? Well, grace simply stated, God's forgiving favor. But you and I both know there's more to grace than just that. Grace means God doesn't punish us what we deserve to be punished for. It means that Christ received our condemnation. He took our place. He's forgiven us. We're free in Him. We're set free from the bondage of sin. Paul said, I want that grace also to be with you all. I don't want you to ever forget that Christ paid the price for you. He showed you favor when you deserve condemnation. He showed you love when you deserve judgment. He paid the price for you when you couldn't pay it for yourself. Paul said, I pray the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with how many of you again? There's that little word again. Be with you all, every last one of you. Paul knows there are some folks that were living on the edge in that congregation, but he wants them all to know this peace, and he wants them all to know Christ's presence, and he wants them all to receive Christ's grace. As your pastor tonight, I want you to know all those things, and the only way you can know those things is by faith. Believing what the Bible says about Christ's presence, believing what the Bible says about His peace, and believing what the Bible says about His grace. As I close tonight, there's a lot of important words and subjects in this second letter to the Thessalonians. Paul wasn't bashful, nor was he hesitant in issuing commands, warnings, and exhortations. But as for me, the most encouraging thing about this epistle is back in chapter 1, verse number 3, and I want to close with this word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul said, we, meaning him and Silas and Timothy, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. And he said the word all there. He used it in that passage, that the love you have all toward each other is overflowing. And then he closed this epistle by using that little word all again, referring to all of the Thessalonians. That, listen, there was no favorites in Thessalonica. Paul had no favorites. There was no particular family that Paul loved more than the other, no particular individual that Paul loved more than the other. He loved them all. The faithful were in that church. The fearful were in that church. The persecuted was in that church. The workers were in that church. The lazy were in that church. The disorderly was in that church. But every one of them needed the Lord's presence. Every one of them needed the Lord's peace. And every one of them needed the Lord's grace. Can you think of anyone in our congregation tonight that doesn't need the same? I can't. So let's pray for every one of us. Let's ask for each of us tonight, that God will help us as we await the coming of our Lord, that He will give us His presence, His peace, and His grace. Father, thank You again this evening for the privilege of opening Your Word. And Lord, I pray tonight the prayer of Paul for the church at Thessalonica. I pray it for my own life and for this congregation. Father, we are bound to give thanks for the faith that You have given, that these sitting here tonight, these believers in Christ, may know You. We thank You for the peace that has been established through Your work for us on the cross. And we pray tonight that as we wait and as we serve and labor, awaiting Your return, that, Father, we would be people tonight that would experience Your presence each and every day. That, Lord, we would have that inner calm and that quietness of soul in the midst of our trials and struggles. That we would have that inner calm and quietness of soul that only You can give. It's a free gift of Your love to us in Christ. We thank You for it. And Lord, we pray tonight that You would be with all of us, and that we all would understand and appreciate even more Your grace every day as we live. We thank You again for each one that's here. I pray You'd help us as we go our separate ways in a few moments throughout this week. Help us to love You and to serve You and to honor You. And we'll thank You and praise You for all You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.